Okay, now here is the moment I'm going to invite John and Sandra. Are they here? Oh yes, thank God for that. Thank God they are here. I had to have a faith. I've been looking for it as we worship. Where are they? And they are here. Come and have a seat down. So many of you know they are going to share their little faith story with us. So it's good to have you, John and Sandra. Have you got enough place here? Yeah? I tried to get some food as much as we eat and talk, but I don't think that will be a, you know. So let's see. So John and Sandra, thank you. First of all, thank you so much. It's really kind of, you know, a bit of nerve-wracking, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, sharing things, stories, and it can, it's powerful, that I believe. Because I became Christian because I'm hearing people's testimonies. Because I want to see what God is real in people's lives. And here you are. Thank you for accepting. So could you please introduce yourself to those who are fairly new to this church? Just say who you are and what did you do and where you are at. Just in a quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, perhaps some of you were here last week and you heard Vivian Sargent say, how long have you been in this church? And some people have been 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. And we've been here a long time as well. But what she also said that made me laugh was, if you've been here a long time, people look upon you as being part of the furniture. And 20 years ago, I was part of the team that took the pews out of this church, and we bought these nice, shiny, red, comfy chairs that we're all sitting on. So I literally feel part of the furniture.
Yes, we came here to Haverhill Methodist Church in 1971 from Oxfordshire. And, yes, what else
Thank
was
you.
It you said?
I think
oh, yes. We moved to Keddington and then I was a teacher and we were led really to Keddington because, unknown to us, the school in Keddington needed a teacher in a summer half-term week, after the half-term, and we moved that week. And the headmaster said, oh, come and have a chat. So I did, and I started teaching in Keddington School that week. So that was all meant to be.
Thank you. That's wonderful.
Yeah, the funny thing was we nearly moved to Great Bradley and bought a house in Great Bradley. Had we done that, we'd have gone to Newmarket for our church and for our shopping, and we would never have come to this lovely church.
Oh, thank God for that. God can answer. I mean, thanks. We are happy that you are here. Don't try to move. Again. Okay. So, it is wonderful to have you here. So now, just tell us a little bit about what is your childhood faith? Because some children are watching here. I just wanted to see what is your childhood faith like? Were you born into a Christian family or like?
No, I was not born into a Christian family as such, although my parents were both believers, but not what I'd call practicing Christians. And I was sent to Sunday school at the parish church every Sunday. So I had some input from there. My mother used to go to church to communion on Easter Sunday. And I remember also going to the Methodist chapel for Harvest Festival. But that was really all my Christian life consisted of in those days.
Yeah, I wasn't also. I was sent to Sunday school, as most children were at that time, and I hated it. It was really horrible. it was not until at one point, there was a man called Billy Graham. Some of the older folk will remember Billy Graham. He was an American evangelist, and he came to the UK, and he preached in London, and my elder brother went along, and he was converted. He became a Christian. And through him, my other brother eventually became a Christian, and then my mother, and 25 years later, my father. And somewhere in between, I became a Christian, although I'm not sure when or where.
Oh, thank you. Now you said that you became a Christian kind of things, but yep. Can I ask you some bit more personal then? So what was your life-changing moment for you both?
Well, for me personally,
yes, you go for it.
Becoming a Christian,
yes,
you know. Well, we moved to Oxfordshire as a family when I was young, and I went to the parish church there because I attended Girls Brigade. And if you're a member of the Girls Brigade, one of the requirements was that you went to church every Sunday. So I duly went along, and they had a group there called the Pathfinders. I don't know if anybody's heard of them. And some people have, good. Yeah. It was sort of for young teenagers upwards, and we used to meet in the parish church in the mornings before the morning service. And it was really through going along there that I gradually became a Christian, and then things came to a bit of a head. We were at a rally up in Westminster Central Hall in London, and I can't remember who the speaker was, but I remember the verse he used, which was, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone asks, I will come in and live with him." And the theme was, ask Jesus to come into your heart. Yeah. And that's what I did on that day. And it wasn't dramatic or, you know, but I just knew something was different.
Oh, thank you, Sandra. That's really powerful. Thank you so much for that. And John, can I ask you that way? I know you've been married for a long time, and I just get, but can you remember if there is any moment that say that really tested your Christian faith? Something like, I know many of you Christians would tell you here, journey as a Christian, it's not always fairy tale story, you know. But there are struggles that you face. Is there something that tested your journey of faith? Or something like you had to question God?
Well, there have been times in our life together where we've had difficulties. We've had family issues, and some of you will perhaps know about that. And we've had some illnesses. And there have been times where, looking ahead, you can't see a way through. And this becomes very difficult because you don't know what to do. And what I would say is that it's only when you look back that you can see a way forward. You look back and you see how God has led you, how he has been with you, how he's cared for you, how he's looked after the family, how he's helped your friends and your loved ones. And it's at those times when you can think, well, actually, God is there. He is looking after you. Mm-hmm. He is helping you. And that helps you to look forward. So I would say, look back with thanksgiving and look forward with confidence.
Thank you. That's really, I think you answered my another question I was going to ask you. But thank you so much for that. So can you recall any key people in your life that somebody encouraged where you felt down, or a church that you felt like they were there behind me for me as I couldn't feel myself to pick up, you know, to move forward?
Well, we thought about this because you did give us some idea of the questions in advance. And there are two people in my life, I think. One was the Girls Brigade captain, Muriel Wright. She was such a quiet person, and she had no family of her own, but she was just lovely. She was very supportive in everything we did, and she was very encouraging for me as a young Christian. And then later in life, many of you I know remember dear Thelma Mills. And in some ways, she was very much like my Girls Brigade captain. She was very quiet, but she was what I call a holy person. She had something about her that was just holy, and she was very supportive to me in lots of ways.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. That's interesting to hear. Yeah. You see, that's something that's encouraging for you all. If you see yourself like, I'm a quiet person, I'm not the person who stands and preach here or lead worship or something, you are most effective in one ways, because the way quietly talking to somebody who sits next to you or journeying with them, God uses you powerfully, and more likely that you are the catalyst for someone who become a Christian or journeying through it, just because you are quiet and just journeying with them without getting any attention here. You know, there are those elements that we as a church that we preach here, you go and ponder, but this is somewhere Thelma, like, just God does use those people like Thelma. Do you want to share an experience, please?
Yeah, a youth club leader who, after youth club and after Sunday services, we'd go up to his house and invade his house and play records and be noisy. And then when everybody had gone home, so a few of us would sit around and have a cup of coffee and he'd chat to us. And we'd talk about the more important things in life, about where we were going, what our hopes were for the future, how Jesus could help us in our lives day by day. And he was a great influence on me, I think, in helping me to become a Christian. Although, as I say, I don't know quite when that was. But there was another man who was the caretaker, and he said, it doesn't matter when, but it does matter if. You see, often people say, oh, when did you become a Christian? Well, I haven't got a clue. I don't know. But over many years, I learned about the Christian life and I began to understand what it was all about. And at some time, I took Jesus into my heart and accepted him as my Lord and Savior. I don't know when that was. But if had I done it, I had done it. So it's the if. Are you a Christian? It doesn't matter when, it doesn't matter how. But the important thing is to become a Christian and trust in Jesus.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that. How have you changed the last 5 years? You know, in the current circumstances now, like I know you've told the history of things. How do you recall this last 5 years for you?
I've got older and grumpier. Over the last 5 years, I mean, we've had COVID, haven't we? And we've had all sorts of things. Life has changed. And I think one thing is to realize that you can't stay as you were. You have to move along with the way events develop. So I think it's a matter of trying to be more flexible. But also, I take more pills now than I did 5 years ago. And it all starts, as you get older, you think, oh, I'm doing well. I haven't taken any medicine at all. And then somebody says to you, well, I think you really ought to take a vitamin D pill or something or other. And then it goes on from there, doesn't it? And you older folk will realize then you get more and more pills. But in fact, you can't do without them. They keep you going and they help you in your life. And Jesus is a bit like that. Mm. The more you have, the more you want, and the better you are for it. So I think don't worry about these things, but go along with them and take what is offered and enjoy and develop your life further.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think one of the other major things was buying the new manse and selling the old one.
At the last 5 years, yes. And a difficult minister.
Lots of headaches over that, but we knew that God was in it and we trusted him. And there is a verse I'd like to just share. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. And that's what we tried to do all through the process with the new manse and everything. Mm-hmm. We did trust, and right from the start, that God was leading us to do that. And he did make the path straight in the end. And
oh, thank you. Thank you. That's really, really good. Yeah. Thank you so much for that. We are nearly coming to an end now. But can you give us some kind of practical advice, people who are going through a similar situation like you, and the things like what do you do to continue relationship with God or deepening relationship with God as you do now? So what kind of things that would you give the younger folks or even your age or even the younger age or old age? What are the people that you're going through a similar stage?
Well, I think praying every day obviously is very, very important, and to read our Bibles. They're the two key things. And there was one thing came to mind with prayer. There's the Acts prayer, ACTS. And I wasn't quite sure I'd got the words right for that, so I Googled it. I Googled ACTS, and the first thing that came up was the Acts prayer, which is A for adoration, when we praise God, C, confession, confessing our sins, T, thanksgiving, when we all have things to thank God for, and last of all was the S for supplication. So you can all look that up on Google if you like for more information. And they did give actually some nice ideas on there.
Shall I put you in a preaching rota or something like that? I can just give a bit of a thing.
And the other thing I'd like to say is when life is difficult and you are perhaps going through difficult times, we do have a wonderful prayer team in church. They're the people with the, are they orange, green lanyards? Green. I can't remember. Green. And they're invaluable too, to go to them and share what you're going through. And it's confidential, but just talking to somebody can help a lot.
Thank you. That's really great. Thank you for the practical advice. Do you want to share anything extra?
Yeah, just to say, we often have difficulties and troubles and it's very easy to get upset about them. But I would say, don't panic.
Yeah.
Don't panic. Think carefully. Pray. Ask your friends. Take some advice. Don't rush into things. Take it gently and carefully, and the Lord will reveal to you what he wants you to do and the path he wants you to take.
Thank you. Final, very final, because when I go visit people, I always ask, do they enjoy worship together? And they always say some kind of, I love that hymn, or I love that song, because that brings you back your memory, something that speaks to you all the time. Have you got a favorite hymn or a song?
My favorite song is this one, Strength Will Rise, as we wait upon the Lord, the Stuart Townend song, because we were at Keswick Convention when we first heard that, and Stuart was playing. He was doing the worship that week that we were there, and he was a stickler for making sure we all sang it correctly. So he taught it to us, that's always stayed with me.
Meaningful to you.
What really is one of my favourites.
Oh, thank you. John, have you got one?
I love the modern worship and the songs we have, and I think it's transformed our worship, particularly here in Haverhill Methodist Church. But I also do like the old-fashioned hymns, and particularly Wesley ones. Ooh. And the Wesleys found, John and Charles Wesley founded the Methodist Church. I don't know whether all of you know that, but they were 18th century pastors. And they travelled the length and breadth of the country, preaching and teaching, and made the foundations of what is now the Methodist Church. And they spent probably 250,000 miles on horseback, travelling the country. Can you believe that? You know, if we in our cars drive 5,000 miles a year, for 50 years, you've done 250,000 miles. Imagine doing that on horseback. So they were amazing people.
They switched you off.
They switched me off. They didn't like what I was saying. Anyway, and Wesley's songs, they tended to have a rhythm. That was because Charles Wesley, who wrote about 1,000 songs, he actually did it on horseback. He didn't have time to sit down and write them. He composed his hymns as he was travelling the countryside. And so it takes the rhythm of the trotting horse. Now, the hymn I would like to just mention is Methodist Hymn Book number 542, which I hope Kathy may put up. Jesus, my strength, my hope, on you I cast my care, with humble confidence look up, and know you hear my prayer. Give me on you to wait, till I can all things do, on you almighty to create, almighty to renew. Now, you might notice that's not a da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da one. Because he wrote this when at the end of the day, they were tired, they were coming into a village. The horse was tired and it was plodding. And he was tired. He was looking forward to his hot meal and his comfy bed. But he was tired and he was resting in the Lord. My strength, my hope, on you I cast my care. And I think this is a great encouragement to us, because when we are tired and when we're weary and when we're fed up, Jesus is there. and we can cast all our worries on him. So this is one that I've taken a lot of encouragement from.
Oh, thank you so much, Father. That's really helpful. Derek, you got the clue there. Horse and writing songs. But thank you so much for that. That's really, really encouraging to hear. And thanks for your words of comfort and the encouragement there. Did you all feel enjoyed that? Yes, brilliant. Thank you. So let's give it a round of applause. Especially pray for you.
Thank you.
Amen. Let me pray for you. Let me pray for you before you go. Heavenly Father, I thank you for John and Sandra, the blessing they have been in for this church. Quietly in the background, sorting up all the furnitures as well as the spiritual side of it too. Prayer meeting and everything, Lord, and the house groups. Lord, I pray that you bless them richly. More and more, Lord, they quietly just minister to the people. They have been a pillar of this church. And I pray that you continue to bless the health and bless the family and their children, the daughters. Lord, I pray that you put your hem around them and protect them. Help them to grow in love with you even more until the last breath of their life. You guide them and lead them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for that. Yes. Thank you. What an encouragement. See, I will be asking you some point to share something. It doesn't have to be a miracle story. You just need to tell me the story why you believe in Jesus. In a sense that it helps you, because that's what Peter, in the book of Peter, says. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. That's a scriptural. I'm not making it up. If you call yourself a Christian, you think that you are believing Christ, just ready to give an answer why you believe in. That could be a simple answer, just like one sentence, two sentence, or 10 minutes, because that is the way they can relate with your story. And I'm really grateful for John and Sandra. We are going to sing a song, What a Beautiful Name. We'll stand and sing together. We're going to listen to a little bit of a drama. Children going to little perform. Because I thought, having this story, when the difficulties comes and the things, how to hold on to God and the way that how you speak to God, you know, the prayer thing. Because the one thing that I did find when I visit people, within Methodist Church, our historical churches there, people don't realize that you can't speak to God directly. You don't have to go through the minister. You know, and all people think prayer is something like a magic word that you can't, it has to be a particular way. You know, that's from the older people or the mature Christians. They would say, I never pray out loud because I'm too scared I may make a mistake. So I'm going to hear what Jesus would say, how to pray. I'm going to invite somebody. Who is there? Okay, come on then. Come on.
Attention everyone, please be quiet for I'm about to pray. You do realize that I'm an expert in prayer, I should say in the art of prayer, because it is indeed an art, not everyone knows how to pray, but I do. God Almighty, victorious, gracious and faithful, here I am, announce again, your humble servant, bringing my supplications before you today, supplicating earnestly, honestly, with integrity and wisdom, deeply in awe of your inestimable worth. Grant your servant riches from your benevolent and restorative heart, omnipotent and omnipresent God. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus says, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you.
You know, Lord, all about the situation I'm in. I simply cannot pay my gas bills. And this is because I lent Joshua £6 last week, and he hasn't paid me back. And then it was my mother's birthday, and I had to buy her a present. And any old present wouldn't do. It had to be a particular brand with pink in pink with flowers on the front. And that nearly emptied my bank account. And then, of course, I had to buy a box of chocolates. Well, if I'm honest, it was 2 boxes of chocolates to take my friend's house. And then I had to take my dog to the vet because I had fleas. Oh, they were everywhere, even on my bed, because I couldn't help myself letting her into my bed occasionally, even though she does make a mess of my sheets. Anyway, the vet cost was a fortune, and now I can't pay my gas bills. Amen.
Jesus says, when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him.
You may wonder why I'm not praying. Well, the answer is, I don't need to. God knows everything without telling me what I need. So why bother praying?
Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives.
It's 10:30 a.m. Sunday morning. Time to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done in heaven as in heaven. Give us today the daily bread. Forgive us our sins, and forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom of power is yours, for now and ever. Amen.
And Jesus says, when people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, Jesus says that there is a right and wrong way to pray. Have you ever thought of that?
True. Have you ever thought of that? Right way to pray and wrong way to pray. Yes. Because it is important that sometimes we just use it in the wrong way to pray. Because, yes, it is true that God knows what you are going to pray. But what is he really expecting from you as you pray? Because he seeks you what is inside of your heart. The intention of it. Because as we pray, it reveals God's heart. Isn't it? Because sometimes we think our wrong concept of God. We think, because that's what God asks us to do. Our Father in heaven. Yeah? It didn't say our policeman in heaven who just looked down on you, or the traffic warden in heaven. He didn't say that, because he looks down on you when you make a mistake, he'll give you a parking ticket. Yeah? Or policeman that will make a mistake, just punish you, waiting to punish you. Or he didn't say our puppeteer in heaven who controls you with a remote. You know, it just say, you better do these things I can do, whether you like it or not, I just operate you from heaven. So you don't have any free choice. Or you didn't say, our teddy bear in heaven. Or a tooth fairy. You know, that's something completely irrelevant in your life. You know, just imagination. Or you didn't say, our old bearded old man on a cloud. You know, because something that is no connection with God, or who is weak and powerless, who is too old, he can't do anything. He didn't say that either. Or he didn't teach us to pray our Santa Claus in heaven, who turns up on every Friday. Sorry, every Christmas, I meant. Yeah? His duty is just give everything that you want, our wish list. It's not like that either. Jesus taught us to say, our Father in heaven. I acknowledge it sometimes. Maybe our worldly father is not perfect. You know, they do make mistakes. They are not perfect in any way. But here is the father that talks about God, who knows you exactly what you need. Even before you say it, he knows, yet he expects you to ask him in a way that reveals your heart. Just pray like, God, you know what I'm going through, but help me. I don't want to lose hope in you. Help me whatever that you want me to do so that it reveals my identity, which is your child of God. When you do that, God says, yes, my child, I'm going to use you. I know exactly what you're going through because I'm with you and I listen to you and I hear your prayer. You can't just give a shopping list to Jesus. I mean, you can if you want to. He looks at you, things are just like, what is that reveals really my heart into this? That when you give a shopping list. Because when you ask him, make sure that he reveals God's heart and your heart. When is that coincide with it together, God definitely answers your prayer. God definitely leads you in a difficult situation and helps you to come out of it. That's what we need to know. There is no wrong way to pray. Unless it comes from your lip, just say babbling. Everything that you just don't want to say, anything that you don't mean it. But here is the God says, use it. Reveal to him and he will listen to your prayer. Alright? And that's what it is today. Let's close our eyes and just pray. How to pray, God? Maybe if you haven't been prayed in the past or saying that it's too difficult, you need to be a very poetic or something religious like that, you can't even pronounce it. Here is the time asking God yourself, help me, Lord, to talk to you as if I'm talking to my closest friend. You can say it in your heart. Come into my heart. It doesn't matter how old you are, whether you are children or older people. Asking God, come into my life. Help me to talk to you. Jesus, help us. As we pray, help us to reveal our heart and your heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are going to have that one final Bible reading from Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 14.
Matthew 6, 9 to 14. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is in the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Let's stand and sing together. Hosanna. Praise is rising. Please be seated. I'm going to invite our stewards to come and give us some notices. Anything there, please?
Good morning, everybody. It's so lovely to see everyone here today. Just a reminder that we do have tea and coffee afterwards, and it's just up the stairs as you go out here. What those doors are, these doors. You're all very welcome to stay. It's lovely to see joy. and her daughter Shiny, and then Stanley, who's man holding the man fort at the back with the little one, and also their daughter, Shiny's daughter Jessica. So Jessica was here last when she was 9 months old, and now she's 13. So you're very, very welcome. If I have missed anyone new that's come here today, please do come and say hello afterwards. So I have a lovely announcement to make, because next Sunday we're having cake. Yay! But we need some help with the cake. So we would like, if you please could, if you can, bring little finger-sized bits of cake next Sunday. If you wake up in the morning and think, oh, I just can't make it to church this morning, just think of the cake. The cake will give you a nice sugar fix after Jesus has given you a spiritual fix. So please, please come if you can. It'll be lovely to see you all next Sunday. Unfortunately, I'm away and I'll miss the cake.
Thank you. That's really, this has made my day, cake. That's brilliant. Yeah, so yes, please do come. And hey, do you know what? Easter coming. Lent is about to start. Oh, I got lots of plan. So we can do that. I will tell you next week. So I'm going to be, so we are going to be studying things, and I'm going to bring things that what we are going to be studying and doing, going through the series, and what we are hoping to do during this Lent. And we are going to do 6 week studies that we are going to study hopefully on Monday, and we will definitely, I think it's more likely it's going to be a Monday afternoon where we are going to have a study, and then I have a food, which is even better, and we are going to have a soup, and then after that, we are also, I know some people would say, but I work. I know, you are lots of people work. So I'm going to provide an opportunity through the Zoom as well in the evening, one of the week. I'm going to be asking you, so hopefully by either Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, that one of the days that we can provide one Zoom link where you can all join in, because if you do work, and I'm sure you use your mobile phone or a computer, kind of things that you know how to use the Zoom. So, and hopefully you'll join in, and I'm going to preach next week something to do with this. So hopefully we'll encourage you. That's the one way that we can grow with the Lord, deeper with the Lord. So I'm going to encourage you, all of you, if you could spare your time in one way or another, especially if you're free at that time, make every effort to join in and have this grow together and see what God can do. And then, because that's the Lent, we need to go through properly Lent with this kind of what the Jesus gone through in a way. That is kind of taste of what God, what Jesus has been through, then only we can experience what true Easter means. You see, we can't skip Lent, just jump to the Easter, because you wouldn't appreciate what that means. You only appreciate when we properly go through what Lent means, then you know exactly what it means to celebrate with Easter. So that's what is going to happen. So come along when you can. Let's take a moment and pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning. We thank you for all the people with the children and the children who have been playing music, revealing your gifts. Lord, I pray for the people who are not here. Whatever the reason, whether they were ill or because it's too icy on the road, or maybe they have other family commitments. I pray for those people. You be with them, Lord. Somehow they can experience your presence in their daily life. Help them to, especially if they are going through difficulties in their life. I pray that you comfort them and you be with them. And you guide them. Let your strength be sufficient in their weakness. Help them to experience your comfort and even joy in the midst of difficulties. We pray for the world, uncertainties, tragedies, plane crash in America, new president making lots of different decisions. We pray for other world leaders too. Lord, I pray, somehow they can do justice, stand beside the poor, and reveal your love in every decision they make. Give us the wisdom. Give our nation a wisdom to stand for the truth and justice. We conclude this prayer with a prayer that you taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. We are going to sing our final song, Waymaker. Yes, Lord Jesus, thank you for this morning again. As we go home, let your presence guide us. As we face challenges and the blessing, Lord, help us to know, even when we don't feel it, even when we don't see it, give us that assurance that you are working in our life. You are working through us to bless our nations, bless our families. Give us that comfort. Reveal yourself to us, Lord. Help us to see you in our daily lives, in our kitchen, in our workplace, in our school, in our college, through our friends, our colleagues. Help us to see you and hear you and feel you. The blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you now and always. Amen. Amen. Go in peace, in love, and serve the Lord, and enjoy the cake as well.